from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. All right, so we got our first look at the new kickoff rules. I think, if I had to guess, if I'm the powers that be, Seth, in the NFL, we've only had one NFL game with the new kickoff rules. It was the Texans and the Bears. A game with a fair amount of kickoffs, actually, for a preseason, week one preseason game. You know, most of the time, the total on that game was 31 points to be scored between both teams, which would translate to very few kickoffs. The game was 21-17 at the half or whatever it was. Like, it was a high-scoring game with a lot of kickoffs. If I had to guess, and we'll hear from Frank Ross here in just a second, if I had to guess, the people behind the new kickoff rules, if they were proud of what they've implemented here, probably looked at that Texans-Bears game and were like, ooh, okay, that didn't totally look how we thought it would look, both in terms of excitement and in terms of actual danger, I guess I'll call it.
It didn't look like any of the runs or the returns were close to breaking wide open or anything. You ended up with an average start position of right around the 25-yard line in that game. And, yeah, any of the big hits were not gratifying big hits. They were all scary, glancing blows with guys bent into awkward body positions. And the stated goal of the NFL in this new kickoff rule was to, one, increase the number of
returns.
Exciting returns. Yep. So small sample size, but it didn't look great. But B, to make it as safe as a normal play from scrimmage. And I feel like just by the injury rate alone, how many total returns were there in the game, Sean?
Oh, I don't know. One to start each half and then enough for three, probably almost 10, probably. Yeah.
Jake Hansen got injured. So, it's like there was already an injury, a head injury, I think, on that play. And it didn't look safe. It didn't look safer. But even if you're somebody that doesn't want football to be safer, you at least want the big hits to be like classic big hits. Like, all right, a guy lines somebody up and waylays them, they were not big hits like that. It was just ugly hits.
No. Yeah, I guess there were a total of 8 kickoffs in the game, right? I mean, there were 6 scores and then 1 to start each half. So there were 8 kickoffs in the game. Here was Frank Ross yesterday, Texans special teams coordinator. His first chance to get in front of a microphone and talk about what he thought of the new rules.
It was such a learning experience. Every coach and staff I had a bunch of people reach out to me. And what did that? It felt way different than practice, in my estimation, my opinion. Hey, how fast do we really run and hit? Hey, how fast do these blockers get on you? How fast do these cover players get on top of their blocks? So it felt tremendously different. We're able to go back and people were, the guys doing it, were able to say, oh, like, here's how that really feels. So as much as you go live in practice, pads on, we've had those training camp periods where it's full team kick return and we're padded, but you don't really finish on the ball carrier. And, you know, that was our first time of doing that. So we learned a lot. And I think individually, what do those blocks look like? It was a huge gaining, learning experience. And every team across the league is about to feel that is going to play for the first time this weekend. So there's a lot to adjust and continue to move forward on.
Yeah, I'll go back to that. I just keep thinking of in World War One, Sean, when they were the airplane was new. They didn't even know how to train people how to fly airplanes, and they were just kind of like, all right, let's see what happens. Yeah. And a lot of people crashed and died. The Texans are those. The Texans are some 19-year-old kid out of Iowa that got thrown in a tail dragger.
Yep.
And went up for 30 seconds and then plummeted to the earth. It's like, we're going to figure it out. A lot of you are going to die along the way, but don't worry. It's for the greater good. Okay.
Picturing Jake Hansen with those big airplane goggles on and a scarf. Floating in the wind. Here we go! Punches the gas.
I'm going to deliver the mail to the trailer.
Tell the world my story.
You will not be remembered. Your sacrifices will not be. So, nobody's going to put up a monument
right,
for you.
Jake who? Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't even officially commissioned yet, bud. As far as we know, you don't actually exist on paper. This looks bad. This looks bad on the War Department stats. You died in a dysentery.
Oh,
that's what you
God.
Were a dysentery loss.
That's funny. Case Keenum met with the media a couple days ago, and Case is an opinion I trust greatly on a couple of guys, C.J. Stroud and Stephon Diggs. This is his second time being a teammate with Stephon Diggs. Obviously, he's been in the quarterback room with C.J. Stroud since Stroud set foot in the NFL. Here is Case Keenum's evaluation of C.J. Stroud's training camp so far.
It looks good. Looks really good. I think he's growing. I think he's learning how to communicate with receivers in, different ways and on a deeper level that will continue to, to stack reps. I've always said, like, there's communication off the field, verbally talking through stuff, showing each other things, looking at film, and then there's communication on the field where we maybe tell them a play or give them a route or a check, but also they talk to us with their body language. And the more we can see how they move in and out of breaks, and especially when you work with new guys that are coming in, like Steph coming in, I think they're all making strides in different ways than they did last year. So I'm excited to continue to see that grow.
It's kind of like learning how to talk to women, Sean. You got to learn how to read the body language.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes young quarterbacks are kind of like that guy that thinks all chicks want him. And hover over a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, now I'm going to get your number and then throw you the football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not everybody might look inviting. But you just don't know yet. Don't
right.
throw it to that lady. So as you become a veteran quarterback, you become more skilled in the art of reading body language.
A little more discerning,
yes.
Yeah.
That's where he needs to be a pickup artist now.
Bobby Sloak is interesting yesterday. I probably should have had this cut ready, but just in listening to Case there, it made me think of Sloak was talking about CJ and how like some of what they're doing with the play call. It's kind of like what you were saying earlier, Seth. Like, you can't just
about talking to women?
No, about you can't take every play at face value that if that play failed, it's because they had the right play dialed up against the defense. Like, training camp is, for the offense especially, it's very little about what the defense is doing, and it's about the offense working on things. And Bobby Sloak said yesterday, like, literally there are plays that are totally designed for CJ to not go to the first or second read,
Make it hard.
We want it
to be hard.
Yes.
So there's times in practice, this is where the delicate balance between like the coordinators competing with each other comes in too. Because there's times where you got to kind of help the other side out, so you're competing against each other, but also you're cooperating with the other coordinators to be sure that you get the work done that you need to get done as an offense or a defense. So, yeah, I think that's what it's impossible to read based on training camp just how good an offense is going to be or not. And there's plenty of teams that try to make it hard on the quarterback, and he might struggle in camp but then be awesome during the season or vice versa. I think there's probably moving forward with Bobby Sloak or any offensive coordinator that's got the same mindset, there's going to be struggles in camp with the offense, because if you're trying to get to that next level, you're doing a lot of stuff where it's hard because it's either new or because you're specifically making it really hard to execute in that situation.
Yep.
And so I don't get too distraught over the negatives. And I also try not to get too excited over the positives because it's just not the same as game planning in a week for a specific opponent.
Yeah, not even close. Here's Case Keenum. Case Keenum, that you heard him talking about C.J. Stroud. He was teammates with Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. He's teammates with Stephon Diggs again here in Houston. He was asked, how is Diggs different here in Houston?
Anytime you've had, I don't know, I played with him in 17, I played with him in 22, you know, I saw a big jump in experience there, you know, in just a couple years too, I think even more experience. I think when you get to, you've been to the playoffs and you know what it takes to get to the, you know, the wild card divisional championship round, but you haven't made it all the way, you know, to the big one and won the big one. I think that just, that leaves you hungry. And I see a guy that's hungry for more. He's been there. He's tasted it. He doesn't just want to get there. He wants to win it. So he's putting in the time, putting in the effort. He's being himself with us, and it's fun to see.
Yeah, I forgot they were teammates in Minnesota and collaborated for one of the most famous plays in NFL history. I forgot about mm-hmm. that. Yeah, so he's now been with Diggs. Seth, Case Keenum has been with Diggs at all three of his stops now.
Right, right, yeah. It came up when they first signed Diggs because Keenum had somebody grabbed him for a soundbite at some point, and the team we're trying to figure out whether the team had talked to Case Keenum beforehand or not. And yeah, Case has a lot of experience with Stephon Diggs, so I think he's seen both the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde side of him as well, you know, and he knows that, like, the same things that people in Buffalo still say about Stephon Diggs, that he works his butt off, that he's got great energy and all that. There's just, like, at times a different side of him perhaps bubbles up.
Yeah.
Usually when he's got a, yes. Usually when he's on his phone, there's just the problem. That's a real big conundrum in all of it. If you just quit social media, he probably could have avoided a lot of the drama that's followed him around.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I got to tell you, though, Sean, I had to listen to that cut three times because it's something I've noticed since they've been in Ohio. Somebody has the Mission Impossible theme song as their ringtone on a phone.
Oh, really?
Up there. Play it. I think it's the Mission Impossible one, that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
If I'm listening for it, will I be able to hear it pretty easily?
Play the first part of this, yeah, because okay. Remember the real long intro where it's like, yeah.
Anytime you've had, I don't know, I played with him in 17, I played with him in 22, you know, I saw a big jump in experience there, you know, in just a couple years too, I think even more experience. I think when you get to, been to the playoffs.
Okay, that's good enough.
That's good, Ben. Yeah.
Is that really long intro followed by the dun, 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 okay. dun? Is that Mission Impossible?
I think that, yes, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Or is it,
so I wish that person
Dragnet?
Would go die.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Dragnet or Mission Impossible, whatever. The text line in the YouTube channel will tell us.
I'm going to text Cody Stutes and find out who the perpetrator is and see if we can rat him out.
It's definitely not a media member because they would have done it once and then been shamed out of it. But it's somebody standing outside the tent.
Yeah.
Stop it. Just stop it. You're distracting your adult sports radio host here back in Houston,
Seth.
Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Still hearing it in my head right now.
Yeah,
it's
now
stuck
really
in my
stop.
Brain.
No, now I am too.
I've been stalking about the house all day, in the afternoons when I listen to clips. Try to see if there's a guy wire I can drop myself from to
peering
steal
over
my
the,
own stuff.
Peering over the counter and seeing if Brandy's around anywhere. This is a quote from Adam Schefter last night on the Patriots backing out of the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes. Brandon Ayuk is probably the biggest league-wide story right now because I think it's expected that there's going to be a trade fairly soon involving Brandon Ayuk. The Steelers and the Browns are the two leaders in the clubhouse right now for him. The Patriots were involved. This is interesting from Adam Schefter, and I kind of respect the Patriots for this. Schefter said, if Ayuk doesn't like the destination, he doesn't have to engage that particular team. They weren't getting a good vibe here as they tried to, they being the Patriots, as they tried to conduct communication with Brandon Ayuk and his agent. The longer it went on, the worse they felt about it. And eventually they said, what are we doing here? Let's just focus on the young receivers that we have. He didn't seem overly receptive to the contract, end quote. So it was the Patriots that pulled out of this thing. Because Brandon Ayuk never... Clearly Brandon Ayuk, it would seem, if indeed that is the case, was hoping that the Patriots would hang around long enough to help drive the price up for whoever he wound up signing with, I would guess.
This is what John Lynch would have feared, is that, man, all right, you want as many people in on it as possible, but Brandon Ayuk, don't sabotage us by sabotaging one of these deals. And he did. He sabotaged it.
Sabotaged it by not being communicative with the Patriots. And the Patriots are like, what are we doing? Let's get the hell out. Which the Patriots never should have been involved in the first place, in my opinion. Like, they're just not, to me. There's an argument to be made to going and getting Brandon Ayuk because he's an awesome football player. The counter argument to that, to me, Seth, is they are so far at the bottom of the barrel as far as teams now that if they trade this draft capital to get Brandon Ayuk, one, you're damaging your ability to rebuild with some more young players. Two, you're having to pay him a huge contract. They've got the cap space to do it, but the problem is by the time you're good enough to fully take advantage of Brandon Ayuk, you got to probably sign him to another extension after that, you know? Like, they're 2 years away at least from being relevant again.
The Patriots are like the guy that forgot to hit send on the stock purchase, you know, that he was going to make 10 minutes before the market crashed.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay. I averted tragedy there.
Right.
They may have averted tragedy there.
I think it worked out best for them by pulling out of that thing.
Catastrophe,
for sure.
I guess, more so than tragedy.
There's
nothing tragic about the Patriots falling. It's the best thing that's ever happened, finally.
This is phenomenal. They used to be the place that players would go to take a discount and ring chase, and now they're a team that can't even get calls back from players that they're trying to money whip. They made the best offer to him so far.
And finally, that damn city of Boston can stop gloating about all their championship. Oh, no, never mind. Basketball. Okay.
Kids in Boston had to go like four years without a title. It was tragic.
4 years without a title in one of their major sports. That's rough, man. That's a rough drought.
It ain't easy, man. Well, yeah, it ain't easy. Someone said that Loper Fido came in on ESPN's top 10 plays this morning at number 7. I'm glad I didn't see that. I miss Joey Loper Fido. And I know he wasn't like the next Mike Trout or anything like that, but man, seeing him, he made some plays, man.
Loper Fido did the exit right. He got emotional.
Yeah.
And it looked like so people in Houston will always remember him for that, as long as he doesn't make any comments about it being a trash city or anything like Chandler Parsons did.
Right.
Everything was going fine with Chandler Parsons until he said that the city of Houston stinks. People still like Chandler Parsons when he went up to Dallas.
The gods
of all places, he went to Dallas and people were like, yeah, but he's a good guy, and you know, it was more he was trying to get Bosch, but then he had to go and badmouth the city.
Yeah.
And now people they hate him.
They do.
I don't know if they hate him or not. They should.
Some do. Yeah. And his knees turned to mush after that. Then, of course, Memphis, after his knees turned to mush, gave him $100 million. Checkmate.
Boy,
Chandler wins.
Hand it to Chandler Parsons.
Dude.
Talk about a glow-up, man. Remember him when he was a young dude?
Yeah.
He was just a doughy, you know, pock-faced fool. And all of a sudden, he turned into, like, Hollywood leading man, good looks, and lots and lots of money.
Well, and he was good at basketball when he was at his lowest paid. Like, his scoring average and his income did like an X on the, you know, like his income kept going up and his scoring average wound up at like 7 points a game at the bottom of it.
I feel like Mark Cuban, I think he ended up, I think Chandler Parsons wouldn't have gotten paid the way he did if he didn't turn from an ugly duckling into a swan physically. He became that combination of, oh, he's a glue guy, but he's also suave and debonair.
Yeah.
And Mark Cuban was like, this guy needs to be my wingman at the club because I'm getting old and creepy. Yeah.
And he
I need somebody next to me that makes me makes me look like I belong in this club at 2 a.m.
Shark Tank ain't getting it done when I'm hitting on the ladies. I just need Chandler's waffle runoff is what I need. three or four that aren't hanging out with Chandler, I'll just take them. All right. The biggest name possibly in free agency, it looks like will not hit free agency. We will tell you in what vocation coming up next.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.